Episode 11, NFL Draft Podcast. I think it's episode 11. I always lose count.
I think, yeah.
Welcome, I'm Rob DeRay.
I'm Stan Talouis.
Week of college football. But before we start into the week 9 of college football, I want to talk about week 10 in college football.
Right.
Did you watch any of the Western Michigan Ball State game yesterday?
I did not.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Normally, I wouldn't care at all. But one, Tuesday night football is weird and oddly exciting. And two, Corey Davis, my man, who, although I'm the only person on this hill, Corey Davis is my wide receiver one for the NFL draft.
Really?
Yes, I've had him since the beginning, over Mike Williams, over Juju. 12 catches, 272 yards, 3 touchdowns, roasted Ball State.
Clearly. That's what it seems like.
Roasted Ball
State. I actually did see that stat line before. I was confused. When I saw it, I thought it was like, oh, is that what he's done for the season? That's cool. That's cute. But no, that's one game.
I think he's number one in the nation in receiving touchdowns. His other numbers are a little bit down right now, but he's been real consistent, and I still look at him, and I think this guy is the type of receiver we see succeeding. He's like 6'3", a little over 200 pounds. He's got more size than you would think because he looks like a small guy. He's a really precise route runner, and he's got this second gear. When he gets his hands on the football, he just accelerates away from defenders in a way you just don't see the other big-name receivers, Mike Williams, Juju Smith-Schuster. Those guys, they're more possession guys, and he's making plays after the catch. And if I had to choose which one of these guys ends up being the next Odell Beckham or Antonio Brown or somebody who can just kind of make things happen, Corey Davis is that guy. He's not going to go up and get the ball the way Mike Williams does over guys. He's not Mike Evans. But, man, he's just got something to him. I'm a big fan.
All right.
All right, we can go to week 9 now. It's just Tuesday night football. I thought it's fairly relevant. We taped this on Tuesday, breaking the fourth wall here. We taped it on Wednesday, so it's kind of stuck in my head.
Right.
Saw the game last night. I had to talk about it.
You know, you talk about Tuesday night football the way Roger Goodell would talk about Tuesday night football because he wants football every night of the week.
Well, you know what? Western Michigan and Ball State deserve a night to themselves. And I'm kind of glad it's not like a Saturday night.
All right. So let's talk about week 9 a little bit. I just want, like, there are a few games I want to talk about. Michigan State is one of them, only because of Jabril Peppers. Every week,
That's unfair.
What?
I mean, you got Jordan Lewis, you got Channing Stribling, Charlton, Maurice Hurst. You got a lot of guys there.
But I primarily watch for Jabril Peppers to see what he's going to do.
Fair. I just wanted to throw out some names. just to not disrespect anyone.
He lined up from a lot of different places. I think he had a sack. He had a couple fumble. I think he had a forced fumble.
Same stat line every week. Yeah, he's got one of everything.
Yeah. So, just another guy I'm looking out
for. One of everything. It's kind of like your order when you go to McDonald's.
Yes, because I can never choose, so I get one of everything. This is America. That's what I do. Any other games that stick out in your mind this week?
Yeah, there's definitely a game that sticks out in my mind.
Florida Georgia was pretty
good. Before we get to that, Clemson, Florida State, Dalvin Cook was, oh my God, good. He was unbelievable.
What do you have? Almost 20 carries. I think he had 20, something like that.
Whatever.
The four touchdowns is really what stands out.
And it was the two long runs that you're just looking at him and you're like, yeah, I immediately, and it's not like I was down on Dalvin Cook or anything, but he is easily, in my opinion, at this point in the draft process, the second best offensive prospect in this class after Leonard Fournette. And he's not in that, you know, Fournette, Ezekiel Elliott kind of top tier, like
a top. He's right there, though.
He's right there. He should be a first round pick. If he was in the same class as Melvin Gordon, he'd go ahead of them, ahead of him. I personally would probably have him ahead of Todd Gurley. Like, he's that kind of player. He's a really special offensive player.
One thing that kind of stood out to me with that game is we talked about him early on. Jordan Leggett wasn't getting a lot of targets early on, but he's come on. Still didn't. I mean, he had. I mean, Mike Williams was always going to lead in targets and receptions. He had Mike Williams had 7 for 70.
Jordan had 5 catches. How many does it say? How many targets he had?
Doesn't say. No. But he had 105 catches.
They were looking to him, and he made the most of those catches.
122 yards, a touchdown. Yeah, I don't know how many targets it was though.
That's all right. He was part of the offense, and huge yards per catch. It was actually a nice week for tight ends. I wrote in my roundup, this is a good class of tight ends that we haven't seen in a while, because even recent classes that have had good guys at the top like O.J. Howard and Jake Butt project to be.
Mm-hmm.
3 top 25 teams had a tight end as the leading receiver this week. Leggett had 122 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Bucky Hodges for Virginia Tech in the win had like 6 catches for 147 yards or 145 yards. And then look at Ole Miss, which lost to Auburn, but Evan Engram had 9 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown. Right. These guys are getting the ball. And they're not the complete players that Butt and Howard have the chance to be. But they are really, really solid receiving options at tight end.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at, I don't want to harp too much on it, but you know, other schools, one that I root for, they threw to the tight end a lot. But I mean, I think it's just the nature of the beast. Staying on Clemson, Florida State, though, Cordrea Tankersley, he had a decent game. I mean, he didn't. I like from what I saw, I don't think he was taking advantage of it at any point. He did have a tackle for loss. He moves around. He's got good speed. I mean, we talk about him as a first rounder.
I really like him. I currently have him in my top 10 overall on my big board, which is ahead of Dalvin Cook, who I have in the same game.
Mm-hmm.
I think he seems every week he proves to me that he can really play corner at a high level.
Absolutely.
And he's got the ideal size and ideal speed for the position as well.
One last game for me, Florida-Georgia. Wasn't that impressive of a game. Georgia didn't really show up. But I'm just now learning about Quincy Wilson. And I already knew about Tabor, and I knew about Marcus May. But Quincy Wilson's a guy who, I mean, you showed me some highlights, and I've been watching on my own. He looks pretty good.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of hype. I'm on the Tabor train, and I feel like there's two teams here. You're either Team Tabor or you're Team Wilson. And I haven't seen many people who have them listed 1-2 in terms of defensive backs. Most people have them listed like 1-4 or 1-5, but it could go either way which one you have one.
Which is weird.
It's very strange, but it's not, you know, out of fact. Like, I've seen Matt Miller of Bleacher Report, who's on Quincy Wilson now, after being on Tabor early, has, you know, talked to executives, and they say, well, rate the SEC defensive backs. And he has, you know, NFL scouts and executives who say, you know, Quincy Wilson 1, Jamal Adams 2, Tre'Davious White 3, Marcus May 4, Jalen Tabor 5, like in advance of the LSU-Florida game that ended up getting postponed. And like that was like, it's like a real thing. Like, some people are just down on Tabor. Some people are not as high on Wilson. So it's very strange.
Anybody else you want
to? Yeah, I wanted to talk about, since we talk about running backs all the time, Deonta Foreman, who has just been putting up crazy numbers for Texas. He had 32 carries for 250 yards this week against Baylor in a big upset win. But if you look at it, he's had over 124 yards in every game this season. He's averaging 6.4 yards a carry, and he's got 10 touchdowns. Not to mention, he's listed at 6'1", 249 pounds. That's a big boy.
6'1", 249?
Yes, 249.
That's like classic fullback numbers.
He is a big boy. Speaking of big boy running backs, Jalen Hurd transferring from Tennessee.
That's right. They have an
he had some NFL. Why did he just go to the NFL? It'll be a day three pick.
Isn't he a
He's eligible. He's a redshirt sophomore. Just go to the NFL. Why are you going to another school? What does he have to get? He's going to have to practice.
Sit a year,
play a year, then enter the draft.
And then he'll be, at that point, probably 21. I mean, not the smartest move.
It'd be old. It's just, I think that he has enough on tape that he would be an NFL draft pick.
At the same time, I think he's, you know, like everybody else, he's looking at this year's draft class and he's seeing there's a lot of running backs. And, I mean, maybe he's thinking by the time he comes out, he could be higher. I mean, right now, where would you put him?
He might not be, you know, going in, you know, the second or third round, but at some point, if his goal is to make it to the NFL and to make some money, might as well just go now. He'll be drafted. He'll make a roster, and he'll get a chance to make money for a few years and prove that he's, you know, he's got what it takes.
Right.
Last thing before we get to the rookie report, after watching Miami lose to Notre Dame, through the pain, any change on DeShone Kizer and his draft stock?
No, he's still the best quarterback in this class.
Did he look good against Miami? I don't remember him looking very good against Miami.
No, I mean he did what he had to do. He made plays.
All right, rookie report?
Yeah.
Okay, before we get into, I know you have a few guys you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive rookie of the year at midseason. That's a big Ezekiel before Elliott. You say Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Defensive rookie of the year.
Bosa?
I think that Bosa is a pretty strong candidate.
You can make a case for Leonard Floyd.
No, you can't make a case for Leonard Floyd.
I mean, if he continues doing what he's doing.
Yeah, if he continues to do what he's doing, then he's going to have, you know, 10 good games and 6 awful games. Right now he has 2 good games and 6 awful games.
True.
Or whatever it is. And he did that against the Vikings line. You want to talk about Leonard Floyd, let's talk about Leonard Floyd.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up anyway. But Joey Bosa is definitely like the front runner for
the front runner. I think Jalen Ramsey's right there, I guess, because he's played more games. But Bosa's looked incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel Elliott, you don't even have like who's tonight? Second place? Michael Thomas?
Maybe.
Carson Wentz?
Maybe.
Dak Prescott?
I would, yeah. Prescott would probably be. Yeah. But, I mean, it's going away.
All right, who else did you want to talk about besides Leonard Floyd? Did you have something specific to say about Leonard
Floyd?
Can we just say that he's impressively productive,
yeah,
considering how bad he is at football?
I mean, who else is going to do it on the Bears?
I guess you're right there.
The other guy I wanted to bring up, Tyreek Hill. He's looked nice. I think he had like 5 catches.
Yeah, always tough to talk about because of the domestic violence and everything. I mean, he's got some rough stuff there, but he's a good player. And you know what? The Chiefs, you say they took a chance on him. Well, you know what? There hasn't been any blowback in terms of missed time or additional, you know, discretions that he's gotten in trouble since then.
Mm-hmm.
So there really hasn't been any negative consequence other than a few, you know, upsetting the fans. And what they got is they got a player who's much better than where he got selected, you know, a player you normally get there.
Yeah.
So it's very weird. And we see a lot more and more teams are taking these players off their board because of an increased sensitivity. But a guy like Tyreek Hill, still in the league. The Chiefs got him with a pick that they should not have been able to get a player of that caliber. And he's coming in and he's really played. He's been excellent as a complimentary piece to Jeremy Maclin on that offense.
Absolutely.
And it's tough to talk about. I don't know where to go because you don't want to. It's hard to mention him without bringing it up, but he's been fantastic.
Right.
He's been one of the top best 5 rookies
offense. You have to separate.
No, you don't have to separate anything. It's just like,
no, he's but been like, really if you, good. But if, yeah, if you talk about. If
there's
you talk
been
about
no it, consequence for the Chiefs. Like, right. The Chiefs just made out like bandits by being willing to take him.
Right.
Speaking of rookies that are playing really well, Jack Conklin.
Yes.
Like, I understand that Ezekiel Elliott is running away with Rookie of the Year, but in a year, if you took Ezekiel Elliott out of the picture, I guess Michael Thomas probably becomes a front runner, or the quarterbacks, Dak and Wentz. I would make a real serious case for Jack Conklin if that was the case.
Every time I watch him play, it upsets me because, I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I see the
offensive. You're a Giants fan and you wanted him.
I see the offensive line play that I have to watch and it disappoints me.
Anybody else?
What could have been?
Anybody else you had?
No, not really.
That's all right. I'm excited to get to the next segment. We're gonna do what if we could trade college prospects? Yeah, you know,
that's interesting.
In homage to the trade deadline in the NFL that just passed.
You mean the one where the Giants passed on trading for Joe Thomas? Is that the one?
We'll be back. All right, the trade deadline just passed. The Giants didn't trade for Joe Thomas. The Cowboys didn't trade for Sheldon Richardson. Jamie Collins did get traded to Cleveland.
To the Browns.
Which is about the worst thing I've ever heard.
I heard it's because he wanted Von Miller money.
That's been... Hey, Jamie Collins
is like a
good player. But that has been disputed, that report. So maybe that's not true. I don't want to paint Jamie Collins in a bad light.
No.
He's had enough problems living in Cleveland. Although he might catch the game tonight.
That's true.
Which, for you guys that are listening, was last night.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So, it doesn't matter.
Congratulations to whoever it was.
All right. So, if we... congratulations.
To whoever won.
Whoever won. I'm sure the fan base really deserved it. Here we have a little exercise where I just picked a couple of guys, and this is mostly selfish. Of course, it would improve the teams.
Okay.
But selfishly, I wanted to trade some players to a better situation where we'd more be able to fairly evaluate their talent.
That's right. Okay.
I think in all of these cases, the team that I'm trading to gets better. So it works out for them, and they'll have to give up some scholarships or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's a hypothetical exercise. Let's not think too much into it.
So I'm gonna
list them, and you just give me a quick reaction.
Okay.
Okay, the first one, guy we just talked about, Corey Davis.
Right.
Western Michigan, 8-0. I feel bad doing this to the Western Michigan Broncos because they're having a great season. I want to get them into a Power 5 conference against Power 5 competition, and I wanted to do it by putting them on a team that has a real good quarterback. I gave them to Washington.
With Jake Browning.
Give them Jake Browning. They have deep threats in John Ross and a few other guys on offense, but now they have their precise route runner, possession guy who has explosive after-the-catch skills.
Okay, so first off, nobody's watching him because he plays in Washington. All their games started like 10 o'clock at night.
Well, so we're still not watching him.
We're still not watching him.
But at least the tape we'll have would be against,
right?
You know,
quality like USC,
NFL
UCLA,
quarterbacks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to see him the matchup between him
and Adoree Jackson.
That'd be a great matchup to watch.
Unless Adoree Jackson gets traded too.
Ooh,
that's what we in the business call a tease. All right, another small school guy who I've talked about on the pod before, Forrest Lant, who is the Western Kentucky offensive tackle, left tackle, probably projects to play guard in the NFL, but has been a lights-out offensive tackle for Western Kentucky, for the Hilltoppers. Terrible name for a team, by the way.
I don't even know what the Hilltopper is.
I want to put him on Louisville. Louisville is having a hard time protecting Lamar Jackson. Lamp has a chance to show himself against ACC. Defensive lines.
AAC?
No, ACC.
ACC, okay.
ACC. We're in Louisville now.
Right.
You know, watching him against the Clemson defensive line, watching him against the Florida State defensive line, he'll have real chances, and I know he proved himself against Alabama, but here he's got a real chance to prove himself as a pass protector for Lamar Jackson and in the running game where he excels.
Here's why I think it helps him more than helps the team. Mm-hmm. I don't think Lamar Jackson needs protection. The guy is just electric. He doesn't need a left tackle to protect him.
Well, obviously not, but it would help. I mean, he's
it would yeah, sure it would. But
I mean, it's not going to get worse because there's going to be less guys hanging
true.
On him. He's just you know not going to have his incredible highlights.
But it definitely helps. I think it helps Lamb more than helps them because it's not like they need him, but they do need him.
The next guy, and I'm going to burn through a couple of these kind of quick. I wanted Zach Cunningham, the standout linebacker from Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
I just moved him from one SEC team to another, moved him to Arkansas. At least he's playing competitive SEC football at that point. Because watching him play, like, just forget about watching him play. Watching Vanderbilt play is such a chore that I feel like I don't get any enjoyment and I don't learn anything. Arkansas is at least, you know, respectable. Even if they're a middle-of-the-road SEC team.
Okay. I agree with you. I mean, if you're going to... I'd move him to Ole Miss. Only because...
I could have seen that. I could see that.
I just think the fit is there. Watching him play, he looks like one of those guys. Like, you could just slide him in where Robert Nkundiche was. Or is? I don't know. Where is Robert Nkundiche?
Denzel Nkundiche. Yeah,
right.
Robert was the tackle. Yeah, I could see that. But, yeah, either or. I just wanted to get him just up slightly a rung on SEC, in SEC Cal. You don't take him out of the SEC because he's got plenty of...
He's got the talent.
Yeah. All right, a couple of defensive backs. I thought that moving Adoree Jackson out of the Pac-12, where he's not really seeing a lot of great receivers, the best receiver in the Pac-12 is on his own team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, like, USC, they started off slow. I do like USC now. I think they should be ranked. I think they're 5-0 since they went to the new quarterback.
I think Max Brown might be sneaky good. Like,
Max Brown has not played quarterback for them in, like, 5 weeks. It's been Sam Darnold, and that's why you think he's sneaky good.
Oh.
Because it's a new guy, and he's way better.
All right. Wait, really?
Really. It is, like, they've been fantastic since Darnold got in there.
See, this is what happens when I don't like watching teams that don't have names on the back of their jerseys. I just see numbers. I'm not sure who's who.
Totally fair.
Absolutely right. So I'm Notre Dame, same thing. I'm not a fan.
So I'm moving Adoree Jackson. I wanted to move him to the ACC. I put him on Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh needs a little talent on that defense.
Oh, okay.
Just in time for the Miami.
Just in time for the Miami.
It's hypothetical, so let's not take it too seriously.
So he's running back punts against us.
Okay, I just want to see him cover some of these ACC receivers. No, absolutely. Virginia Tech has Isaiah Ford.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put him against, you know, Mike Williams and Clemson.
Stacey Coley.
Yeah, Stacey Coley.
He's got the speed. I would like to see that. That's a great speed matchup.
I think that Adoree Jackson could really make a difference in Pittsburgh. While we're on defensive backs, two really good ones, Jamal Adams of LSU and Justin Evans of Texas A&M, who are both playing for teams that just kind of have been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really a showcase for safeties because are they in the box? Are they out of the box? Who throws the ball all the time? Who doesn't throw the ball at all? Either one of these guys, put them on Iowa. Mm-hmm. And let me see what they can do against your Michigans and your Ohio States.
Those
and
teams running offenses, yeah.
Who can run the ball mm-hmm. a little bit, but actually throw the ball in a meaningful way, not totally off of play action and read option like Alabama does.
I mean, I'd love to see them against Wisconsin, especially. Like
teams like where you have to play in the box mm-hmm. and play like a traditional NFL safety against a pro-style offense.
Yeah.
All right. I have three running backs that are moving teams. First, Donald Pumphrey. How well are you familiar with him, the San Diego State running back? He's chasing...
You've mentioned him before.
He's chasing the career record for yards.
Marshall Faulk?
No. Ron Dane. Ron Dane?
Oh, career, like NCAA career. I thought
he had the
school record.
No. I think he's past Marshall Faulk.
Okay.
He's going for the NCAA record.
3,000 yards?
Whatever it is. He would have... Like, he's averaging over 200 yards per game rushing. Mm-hmm. And he would have to keep that pace up through the end of the season to even sniff it, probably throw in one ridiculous game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing it. 5'9", 180 pounds.
Really?
I want to put him on Ohio State. Curtis Samuel has been great as a half running back, half receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Weber has been just okay. He's been hit or miss. I say put Donald Pumphrey there. It'll give Ohio State something that they need, which is a running back who they could really use
mm-hmm.
and really run the ball between the tackles. And it'll give us a real idea of whether Pumphrey is an NFL player or not. After that, I have a two. Did you have anything else to say about Pumphrey?
Well, he doesn't really fit the mold of the last two Ohio State running backs, Carlos Hyde.
No, they're a lot much bigger players.
Right, much bigger guys. But it would be a nice change of pace to see that kind of player in that offense.
It's not even that. It's that he has to be the 180-pound back who can handle that load. And I want to see what he does with the type of load that Elliott and Hyde had to go through. It'd be a great test to tell whether he's going to handle the load in the NFL.
Okay.
Two probably better known running backs and guys who were on that, you know, first round watch list this year. Nick Chubb, who's kind of gotten lost in the mess of the Georgia season.
No one's talking about him anymore.
Well, he hasn't really done much worth
222-yard game.
Yeah. I want to put him on Ole Miss.
Okay.
The offense isn't a mess, but they are in desperate need of a running game. I wonder what Nick Chubb does, you know, with at least a passing game that can keep defenses honest.
And it definitely helps Chad Kelly.
Yeah, of course it does. Another guy, Christian McCaffrey.
Really?
Yeah. Stanford's been terrible. Stanford's offense has been terrible. Stanford's defense has been even more terrible.
It's not because of him.
Even if Stanford's offense was good.
Right.
Pac-12 running back is not doing anything for us at mm-hmm. this point. Let's move him to the SEC. Let's put him on Florida.
Okay.
And see if he can make it through Florida, people will stop doubting him, whether it's size, whether it's because he's white, whether it's because they don't think he's fast. Well, you put him on Florida, and if he could run the ball there, then he can run the ball anyway.
I mean, this is a guy, early in the year, we talked about, you know, possible late first, second round guy.
Right.
And now, just like Chubb, he's kind of fallen off the face of the earth.
Kind of fallen off, which makes sense. While I'm on Florida, I want to give them a pass rusher. They're basically the only team in the SEC, in terms of the really top teams, that doesn't have a marquee pass rusher. I mean, Ole Miss has Marquise Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas has Dietrich Wise. Texas A&M has Myles Garrett. Missouri has Charles Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama has everybody. LSU has Arden Key, even though he's not draft eligible. So I want to take one of Alabama's many pass rushers, Ryan Anderson, who I think has gotten the least notice and the least attention out of all those guys. Let's put him on Florida, make him the prized pass rusher. Let's see how he does.
And he plays interior line too as well, right?
No, Ryan Anderson's more of like a linebacker. But they move him all around because they already have Tim Williams, they have mm-hmm. Jonathan Allen, they have all those guys up front, they have Reuben Foster in the middle. Ryan Anderson is like the lost guy, but he's been a productive pass rusher. I think it's worth seeing what he could do when he gets all the attention of the opposing offense, which he'll never get at Alabama.
Right.
Speaking of pass rushers from the SEC, Charles Harris.
I was just about to say that. I thought he was the guy you would move from Missouri over to, where did you say?
To Florida?
Florida, right.
No, I have a better place for Charles Harris. Charles Harris, great career at Missouri, putting up big sack numbers,
mm-hmm.
kind of slowed down this year other than a 3-sack game. What's the big thing that he's missing? It's his defensive line coach. Let's put Charles Harris on Miami.
Thank you.
Let's put Charles Harris on Miami.
Him and Chad Thomas.
And let's let him rip.
Yes.
Let's let him rip.
I'm all about it.
I thought you'd be excited for that
one. I am. You know, I like what we got, but, you know.
So here, I'm giving you Charles Harris.
Losing Al-Qadim Muhammad wasn't great.
I'm giving you Charles Harris. Unfortunately.
What am I losing?
I'm taking away Brett Kaya.
That's fine. You know what? It's okay. I'm okay with that.
I'm taking away Brett Kaya, and I want to let you know that
Give him nice things, please.
I'm not even taking away Brett. Like, you're going to be upset where I put him. I'm not taking...
don't do it.
I'm putting him on LSU. He's got nice things. He's got... I think that having competency at quarterback, and that's all Brett Kaya is giving anybody at this mm-hmm. point, is competency.
Mm-hmm. Nothing
more. Competency at quarterback opens up Leonard Fournette to run the ball, even mm-hmm. though he's been running the ball more effectively. But more importantly, I will finally get to see if Travon Darrell and Malachi Dupree are real-life human beings who can catch the ball,
mm-hmm.
or if they are just Danny Etling's personal trash receptacles for every garbage throw he throws out there, even though he's way better than whoever their quarterback used to be, who I've already erased my memory. I was about to call him Jordan Jefferson.
I was just about to say the same thing.
Jordan Jefferson.
I think he's Jordan Jefferson's been gone for a few years now.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I closed my eyes and I can imagine that pass that he threw to Wisconsin. But for the sake of me, I can't come up with his name, and I think we're all better for it.
Yeah,
like, that's all I have.
All right. Well, I mean, I think that's a good segment. I like it. It helps Miami a lot.
That's big. That's an upgrade there. Charles Harris for Brett Kaya.
Yeah, I'll take it if you sign me up, and then we'll just find somebody to
play. I think that if Charles Harris is playing for Miami right now, that he already has 12 sacks.
Yeah, he's a front runner for ACC Defensive Player of the Year for sure.
We're gonna come back with draft room.
Yeah, we'll be back. We're doing Chargers and Falcons, right?
Yep, you got it. All right, we're into the draft room section of the podcast. Always fun.
This week,
you got to pick your next NFC team.
I went with the Falcons.
See, I feel like it's unfair because you shot your wad on so many bad NFC teams early.
I did.
So you still have good NFC teams left.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel dumb, like I'm already picking the 3-5 Chargers.
But I, in my defense, I fully expected the Falcons to be awful. And I expected the Panthers and the Cardinals to be good.
All right. So did I. So what? All right. So what do the team needs for the Falcons as you see them?
I think most of their team needs are on the defensive side of the ball.
I would agree.
They definitely need a corner.
I would say a corner opposite Trufant would be big.
Absolutely.
I would say another safety.
Another safety would be nice.
I don't like Keanu Neal, but he's playing well. But they still need more of a free type of guy because Keanu Neal is the big bruiser, the Cam Chancellor type in Dan Quinn's defense.
Normally, I'd say they need a pass rusher, but I think Vic Beasley's kind of come on.
I would get a pass rusher just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many available. Yeah. Why not?
And defensive line, they could use linebackers. Mm-hmm. They could use something at every level part of that defense mm-hmm. as Dan Quinn still tries absolutely. To build. I think they could also use another receiver still.
Absolutely.
I think they could still add a tight end. I don't think that they've solved their offensive line problems just because Jake Matthews is playing fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Mack is good in the middle. So that leaves a lot. Now, in terms of their draft history, and I guess this has kind of changed since Dan Quinn is only recently, you know, in play there. But the last first-round picks, Keanu Neal, Vic Beasley, Jake Matthews, Desmond Trufant. Pretty solid group. Again, mostly on the defensive side of the ball,
mm-hmm.
plus the offensive tackle. In the second round, they've gone linebacker, cornerback, defensive tackle, cornerback. So they've been investing on defense.
What are they doing wrong? I mean, it's not that they're doing anything wrong. Well, they're 5-3 now?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess they're not doing anything wrong.
I thought you meant from a draft, a team building perspective.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like, you know, like they're building to the draft, even though they're drafting.
That's because you're still thinking about, you know, Julio Jones, which is a great draft pick, but then they have no second round pick, no fourth round pick. Then the year before, the year after that, they have no first round pick and no fourth round pick.
Right, because all that went in the Julio Jones trade.
Right, no third round pick in the Marcus Trufant year. So they've only had their full, you know, plethora of picks the last 3 years, and they've had no depth and nobody behind these guys when they get injured. Now, looking at their needs, well, this is a great draft for corners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where are they going to be drafting? Let's say they make the playoffs, right?
I'd say, yeah.
Let's say they're drafting 24.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a corner there.
Yeah.
Are you going to get...
You can get a good corner there.
You could get either Jalen Tabor or Quincy Wilson based on what we said earlier. You just can't get both.
Yeah, you just can't get both.
You might get Cordarrelle Tankersley. You might get Tre'Davious White, Desmond King, Jordan Lewis, Marlon Humphrey, Sidney Jones.
They'll have their pick.
They'll have a lot of guys to choose from. There'll still be pass rushers on the board at that point, whether it's Carl Lawson or Charles Harris. Like, there'll be someone there that they could put opposite Vic Beasley, and it makes it easier. Because Vic Beasley is moved to linebacker now, and he's rushing the passer from a bunch of different places, but not from a traditional edge rusher spot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you have to fit somebody into that mix. That's really the beauty of Vic Beasley being good. I didn't think he was going to be good. I didn't think he was going to be a really good pass rusher. But if he could provide that spark from a traditional linebacker position, mm-hmm. that opens up more pass rushers you can put on the field at once.
Absolutely.
Anybody else that you kind of like? I mean, they might be in that position to take the second receiver in this draft. Probably not Mike Williams, but could they get Juju Smith-Schuster? I don't know if that's a huge upgrade over Mohamed Sanu, but you know, it's probably they're not going to have many chances.
At the very least, it's depth, which isn't bad. And if it was Juju Smith-Schuster, you put him in the slot. I mean, yeah. With his kind of speed, I think it'd be kind of good.
Not to mention, both tight ends are probably in play.
Yeah, I mean, I think O.J. Howard would fit well in that offense.
I think it would be really, really good, and I think Matt Ryan would be able to get the most out of him.
Absolutely.
And he'd be the type of tight end who could take attention off of Julio mm-hmm. Jones with his mm-hmm. speed.
Absolutely. And, you know, you bring another Alabama guy in, you can't go wrong with that. Moving on to the Chargers.
Right. Biggest knee is offensive line.
Absolutely. Where are they drafting? Where would you – I mean
– They're 3-5. They're going to win more games than they should, probably.
So they'll finish maybe like 7-9, 8-8?
They could.
You think they get to 10 games?
No, they're not going to get to 10 wins. But you know what? They have the talent, too. And I was just talking about this. I'm looking at the AFC. I'm kind of locking in 3 AFC West teams into that playoff mix.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically, if either the Raiders, the Broncos, or the Chiefs collapsed, whether because they had a key injury or because the rails came off. I don't know which team jumps up. Like, do the Bengals jump into that other wild card spot? The Bengals have been really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Bills jump in?
They could.
The Bills? Yeah, but did you really think they were going to be more than an 8-8 team?
No.
Do the Dolphins jump in?
No. I don't see it.
Does a second AFC South team jump in?
Definitely not. I think.
Do the Chargers or Jets go on a run and finish 9-7 and 9-7 and a tiebreaker makes the playoffs?
I think it's more likely to be one of those two teams. I think the Jets have a.
I think it's probably the Bengals, but Bengals are struggling. Yeah. Like, once you like
of the two,
yeah,
yeah, I can see it.
It's not out of the realm of possibility if something catastrophic happens to one of the wild card teams that's already in there.
So let's say the Chargers are drafting 18th. In that 15 to 22 range.
All right.
Who do they take? Do they reach for an offensive lineman?
Unless it's Mike McGlinchey, and even still, like, this is probably not the draft to get one. This is a bad draft for offensive linemen.
Even though they need one, would you, like, what if they traded back to take a guy like Cam Robinson late in the first?
Is Cam Robinson even a left tackle? Is he a right tackle? Do you just now have two bad right tackles with him and DJ Fluger?
That's fair.
Really? And you know what, like, What's going to be available? Really good edge rushers.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you just grab? Joey Bosa. Could you use another edge rusher? Are you going to say no?
Yeah, why not? But wouldn't you rather fill other positions of need?
But you got to take best player available when you're the Chargers.
All right. So if they're the...
They could go corner across from Verrett. They're not super needy at corner when they're healthy.
Maybe safety. I mean, Eric Weddle's like, 75 years old now?
He also plays with the Ravens.
Oh, never mind. I just miss seeing him.
It just in powder look blue. Right in purple.
No, it's a lighter shade. He needs to be in a lighter shade.
Yeah, blue. They could take a safety, and there's plenty of good safeties to pick from. I really like best case scenario is their season goes in the tank again, like it did last year,
mm-hmm.
and they pair Joey Bosa with Jonathan Allen.
Could you imagine that offensive line? Defense.
Especially with Bosa's ability to move around and right. Allen's ability to kind of hold a 3-4 end.
And fly. His ability to fly. That'd be kind of crazy. Offensively, could they do anything? Maybe a receiver?
I mean, they could, but they lost Keenan Allen. They lost Danny Woodhead. They lost Stevie Johnson. Phillip Rivers hasn't skipped a beat.
That's right.
I mean, he had 3 interceptions against the Broncos. They struggled in the red zone.
The Broncos, though.
But... does Phillip Rivers need a receiver? No, maybe you just wait for Keenan Allen to get healthy.
Is Legadu Nane still around somewhere?
No, that is crazy you thought he would still be around.
Is he like? I feel like he's like somewhere.
He's got like a 72 speed rating in Madden, and he was still their starter. So, like their past couple drafts, and they've been kind of all over the place under AJ Spanos. You know, Bosa obviously. So they've gone edge rusher, running back, cornerback. Offensive tackle, edge rusher, defensive tackle, running back with their last 7 first-round picks. The last, you know, their second-round picks are tight end, linebacker, defensive tackle, safety, linebacker. They're really looking to fill those spots in that second round.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great class to add another linebacker in round 2.
Absolutely.
Probably better off looking for safety or corner in round 2, though, based on what they've been doing recently. And I do want to mention, we were talking about this before, they have basically not had any 4th-round picks with the exception of 2012.
And then they didn't have one in 2011 as well, right?
Correct.
Why? Okay, and we talked about this, and I'm curious as to what is it about 4th-round picks that AJ Spano doesn't like?
It's very bizarre.
Like, I could understand, like, if you make a big trade and you trade away 2 firsts... as we saw the Falcons have done, or the Redskins when they moved up to get RG3. But what is it about 4th-round picks? Like, is he just sitting in the office like, no. I'm only here on day 2 for 2 picks. The third and the fifth. I want to, you know, come in early, make my 3rd-round pick. I'm going to go get some lunch. I'll be back for the 5th round. Is that what he's doing?
It's truly...
It's weird.
It's very weird. And... I don't know how to explain it. I actually have to look. Maybe they keep trading up into round 3 or something like that.
Yeah, I want to. I think that'd be a fun little.
But it's something
a fun
that,
little assignment to find out where these 4th-round picks are going. Yeah. They're like socks in the dryer. They just disappear, and like the sock monster gets them. In this case, the 4th-round pick monster.
I guess so. Anything else you have to say about either of these two teams?
Not really. They just seem like those. Like I think it's the Falcons more so. Than the Chargers, the Falcons are one of those middle of the pack teams that, like, hasn't seemed to kind of, you know, make that leap yet. And their window's closing. Matt Ryan isn't getting any younger. I mean, they found Devontae Freeman, and he's been doing well. But, I mean, at some point, how long before you just say, you know what, let's kind of step back and rebuild a little bit more so that we're stronger? I mean, at the same time, like I just mentioned, the window's closing. But that's it. That's all I've got on them.
Yeah, with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, they're not going to say goodbye to that window. All right. This is about the time where we sign off for non-football, for football fans, and just let everyone else who has a little bit more breath to their curiosity stay for our
pop culture. The
presidential... is our presidentially themed pop culture mock draft.
By the time
you hear us again after this, we will have a new president
elected. Yeah. So this is the last podcast we're putting out before we elect a new president. So we thought we'd do a presidential
themed mock draft.
So stay tuned. As a matter of fact, before we go,
at Rob DeRay,
at FunnyManStan.
You can follow us at NFL Draft Podcast.
And email us at NFL Draft Podcast.
Nope.
It's not?
Email us at draftpodcast@gmail.com.
I've been screwing that up.
I think we got it right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, cool.
See you in a couple seconds after a weird little sounder that we use all the time. NFL Draft Podcast.
We're back.
And in honor of the NFL Draft being however many months away, and the election being in a couple of days, we are taking 10 actors who are desperate, thirsty for that ever elusive Best Actor Oscar.
I'll be honest with you, I thought some of these guys had won it already, but you got it right.
I do not think that they'd have. So these guys are thirsty for that Best Actor. And as we saw just a few years ago when Daniel Day-Lewis won Best Actor for Lincoln, playing a president, it gives you a shot at least getting nominated, and it puts you in the field, as long as it's a good movie. So we've arranged these 10 actors: Edward Norton, Joaquin Phoenix, Mark Wahlberg, Brad Pitt, Robert Downey Jr., Tom Cruise, Steve Carell, Johnny Depp, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, 10 actors who don't have an Oscar but have displayed the willingness to take Oscar bait roles. And we are going to say, if they had to acquire the rights to a president's life to make a movie, a biopic, who would they pick with the intent of hopefully winning an Oscar for that role?
Got it.
Edward Norton is first.
All right.
Great actor. He should have won for American History X, arguably.
Yeah.
Arguably.
I'm going to say Edward Norton goes with Harry Trump.
Harry Trump?
Truman.
Trump on the brain.
That is a Freudian slip.
I guess
so. What they call that? Harry Truman. We've seen Edward Norton blend into his characters. I think it's a compelling... It's a character we don't know a lot about. We always see the picture of him holding up, you know, the that newspaper. But I want to know more about him, and I think Edward Norton will bring out that story.
All right.
Number two, you got Joaquin Phoenix, right?
Joaquin Phoenix, he stays true to the big board on this one. He takes Teddy Roosevelt.
Ooh, that's a good one.
He takes Teddy Roosevelt. He gets to play, you know, this great president who, while you might know a lot about from your history class, you've all forgotten that, as have I. So then when you Wikipedia him to refresh yourself, you realize he had a really interesting life. He was a soldier. He was a great outdoorsman.
Modernized football.
Don't think I didn't forget that. Or if you ask Coach Alfieri, who was my football coach, he ruined football with the invention of the forward pass. Teddy Roosevelt. I think that's good. I like that pick. I think that is it's a really good one, and I think that's a great one to win an Oscar.
All right. Number three.
This is the toughest one, by the way, of all the 10 actors. This is the toughest one for me to imagine.
Mark Wahlberg. Now, I thought about this from different perspectives. I think Mark Wahlberg will go with Alexander Hamilton, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
We all talk about, I think if you're going to take this movie from any angle, you take it from the famous duel between Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. Who better to get hyped up for a duel than South Boston's own Mark Wahlberg? I think I see him walking around with a sleeveless button-down shirt with his gun, and somehow he talks to producers, letting him use like a Glock or some sort of modern gun in this movie. It's good. I mean, I think he goes all out and he tries to really tap into the mindset of going into a duel. I think that's what they focus on.
All right. I could see it. I could see Mark Wahlberg going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
A little surprised. I would have guessed, you know, with that Boston accent, you might have gone JFK there. But
that's true.
JFK but has been done, yeah. So I understand why you wouldn't
it's
go.
It's very difficult.
All right. I'm at Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy that my guy is still on the board here.
Because
I think Brad Pitt is very happy to portray William Jeff, Bill Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Clinton.
Okay.
Can't finish the George Carlin joke because it gets dirty after that one. Brad Pitt, he's got that, you know, that charm.
Mm-hmm.
He could play that southern voice, could schmooze anybody. I think I don't want to talk about John Travolta's primary colors.
I have it on VHS, right or in that closet. Right
Billy Bob Thornton's take on him in Love Actually.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Clinton as the guy who captured America's heart before all the other stuff came mm-hmm. to light.
Okay, I see it.
And or just throw us right in the middle of the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah, just how he dealt with it. Yeah, I can see that. And it's funny because
and how he captured America's hearts right after it.
Again,
as much as he tried to, I think that Brad Pitt is uniquely qualified to attack
and if,
that.
And if you saw The Big Short, I mean, he's got range. Brad Pitt is that's a role you didn't like. He's different.
He can do
different.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
I think he does a great job. I think Bill Jeff.
So number five, I've got Robert Downey Jr.
Yep, you've got Iron Man.
So, you know, we forget how good of an actor Robert Downey Jr. is. This is a guy who was in a lot of those 80s movies, and then he transitioned into this superhero megastar. So I'm going to give him some credit. Robert Downey Jr. is a good speaker, and it's got to be someone who gave...
He almost plays too smart to be president.
Right.
Because presidents always kind of slow it down a little bit for you to kind of keep it on your level. Where he kind of rubs it in your face that he's a little smug and smart.
Right.
That Tony Stark, Sherlock Holmes.
He'd be a great chief of staff or communications director.
Oh, definitely.
But I'm going to give him some credit here. He's a great orator. I'm going to give him FDR.
Nice.
You know, he doesn't have to walk. He can sit in the chair and just really just lay into those speeches. Talk about the New Deal. Ask not. No, that's Jeff. That's Kennedy. What's the fear? Yeah, fear is something. What is it?
Nothing to fear but fear itself.
There you go. Yeah, it's that thing.
The Pearl Harbor. And he has the Pearl Harbor.
Right. Yeah.
That's good. Let me tell you, Johnny Depp really angry that you just took away his chance at putting the makeup and the prosthetic legs and being in a wheelchair and being weird for 2 hours.
I'm sure.
All right, that brings me to the fifth guy, Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise, another guy who he could have picked up a Best Actor along the way.
Yeah,
he's had some moments.
I'm surprised he hasn't. I mean,
he could. I understand that Dustin Hoffman played the autistic guy in Rain Man.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise was really good in Rain Man as the guy who had to get frustrated with.
How about Vanilla Sky?
How about it?
He was very good in Vanilla Sky.
He's great and he's brilliant in A Few Good Men.
Oh, yeah.
And he probably should have won Best Supporting for Tropic Thunder.
Oh, he was so good. Like, I mean, you could...
When I put this list together, you wanted him off this list because you said he stinks.
Because I keep thinking of the fact that he's, like, 5'5" and doesn't want to be filmed from the waist down. And, like, the fact that, you know, the Mission Impossible
movies. Right, perfect.
Movies,
yeah. He's a giant, giant D-hole. And he's going to be George Washington.
Oh, my God.
Who else would Tom Cruise pick other than...
Of course not. He wouldn't pick anybody else than the father of America.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Has he ever been anything except a hero or the guy from Tropic Thunder? No.
No.
He's going to be George Washington leading the Continental Army to victory. Tom Cruise.
I like it. All right, number seven. I've got Steve Carell.
Steve Carell, who now nominated twice, once for Foxcatcher, once for The Big Short.
The Big Short, yeah.
Officially in the mix as an actor who has been in the game a long time mm-hmm. and could theoretically win an Oscar.
I'm going to say he's going to go with someone who's really fallen through the cracks in presidential history, Woodrow Wilson.
Okay.
With a guy we don't really know too much about, just like when he played in Foxcatcher, we don't know about a lot about DuPont, and he brought that to light. I think Steve Carell has the acting chops to make Woodrow Wilson a household name, and it's going to inspire 30 for 30 somehow. Like, it's going to be great. I can't wait.
All right. So I got Johnny Depp. I wanted FDR here. I knew mm-hmm. it was a long shot, so I prepared some backups.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Depp, with FDR off the table, he's going to take Franklin Pierce, the 14th
Ooh.
President.
Mutton chops. Mutton chops?
Is that right? They all had mutton chops.
They all had, yeah, early on, they probably all had mutton chops.
I don't know if he was the known for his mutton chops.
Mm-hmm.
Ranked among the worst presidents in history. No, but for a specific reason, it has nothing to do. I think Johnny Depp is always willing to take a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin Pierce is one of the presidents whose divisive presidency led to Lincoln being elected, led into the Civil War. And it's kind of that pre-Civil War period when things were getting so bad that the country was actually divided. Johnny Depp having to navigate a divided country and being bad at it and end up not being the only one on this list who I feel like is not the hero of his own movie. The hero is his successor, not his successor, but his eventual successor two presidents later, Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. Number 9, I've got Ben Affleck.
Right.
I think we mentioned it earlier. I think he's the guy, not Mark Wahlberg, that's cocky enough to make Boston a central theme, and he does JFK.
Makes a lot of sense.
I mean, he's
with that Gone Girl smile.
Right. He's gonna do that smirk he does. He's gonna try to do the accent. He's gonna work real hard at it. It's gonna be terrible. And this is the role he chooses, JFK. And he's gonna wear a Red Sox hat everywhere. It's gonna be the worst.
Who plays Marilyn Monroe in that movie?
ScarJo.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I think. Or Christina Hendricks.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I don't know what she looks like as a blonde, though. I don't remember it. Because she's a natural redhead, no?
She is.
Yeah.
I think she pulled it off.
Okay, yeah.
All right. So, it's a good thing that I knew that JFK wasn't getting down to Matt Damon. I think Matt Damon possibly could pull it off a little bit better than Ben Affleck.
But he wouldn't be cocky enough to choose him.
You might be right about that. He might be.
He might, yeah.
He might be.
But he would do it. He would do it differently. He would do it well.
It would be a different movie.
Yeah,
it would be a different,
movie. Better movie for sure.
I don't know. I don't want to be mean to Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck's had his moments. Matt Damon, I've seen him take some challenging roles, some weirder choices here or there. I'm giving him Grover Cleveland.
I don't know anything about Grover. He's on Money, right?
He's one. He's like, definitely not on Money.
No, he's not like the $50 bill or something like that.
No,
it's a bill I've never seen, so I don't know.
Grover Cleveland, there'd be an issue because Grover's a heavier set president.
Okay, a lot of prosthetics.
He is notable because he was the president. He lost when he ran for re-election, and then he won a term later. So I'm talking about...
Right, so he was president, not president, and then president again.
I'm talking about Matt Damon, somewhere in between losing the presidency and gaining the presidency back. There has to be a story there.
What's he doing? What's he up to?
And how he rebounds to become president again.
That's interesting. I would watch that movie. I would definitely watch that movie.
I'd read the Wikipedia page about that
movie. For sure. I would definitely want to see the trailer for it.
I think Matt Damon is the kind of guy who could explore, like, just like Johnny Depp's looking at, this is a president who we think of as bad and we're not going to hero-wise. Is that a word? Hero-wise?
Sure.
Matt Damon's looking at, this is a president who had a real low moment and bounced back and probably had four more bad years in office, and everyone's realizing this was a terrible decision. Mm-hmm. But that's a story for another day.
I like it.
Everybody go vote.
Yeah, please. Please vote. Do that.
With your heart.
Yeah.
And your brain.
I mean,
mostly your brain.
Yeah. Like, be smart about it. I'm not going to say who to vote for, but come on. Come on.
Just vote. In the NFL Draft Podcast.
Thanks for listening.
I forgot my Charlamagne the God quote. I was going to bring one today. Yeah.
I figured you were going to do it, so I didn't get one. All right.
Next week. Next week for episode 12.